You know, today we're continuing our series about marriage, and I would say today's message helps not just marriages, but also all relationships, because I want you to know something. A good marriage does not mean that you don't get angry with each other at times. It just means that you process it in a healthy way. Now, a lot of us did not grow up how to handle conflict in a healthy way. I grew up, I don't know why, but I grew up thinking that if you were upset, you don't let anybody know unless you just get in a fight with someone, like a physical fight. But besides that, you just kind of stay a cool customer and you suppress everything. You sweep everything underneath the rug if you get upset. That's kind of what I thought. And then I married my wife, Rachel, and I found out there's a whole different way of handling confrontation. Her family, what they do, if they have issues, upset, maybe angry, they would have family meetings. And I would look at this and I'd be like, you people are weird. You ought to sweep it under the rug like I do. That's what you ought to do. But happens in marriages or really any relationship is you have two systems and how to handle conflict. They collide, don't they? They collide in the marriage. They collide even in a friendship. Let's look at what the scripture says about how to handle anger, how not to handle anger. Ephesians chapter 4, look what it says. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. So the first thing I want to say today, and this is kind of new for me, and that is this. Don't deny your anger. Don't deny your anger. Anger is a natural emotion. God gets angry. You'll never get so spiritual that you'll never get angry. That's not going to happen. At the same time, anger can be destructive force, right? In marriage, in relationships. So if you're angry, acknowledge it, but you need to know how to process it. See, a lot of us grew up as children of divorce, and we have a difficult time with anger. Someone wrote this in a book called The Unexpected Legacy of Divorce, saying that children of divorce, what they tend to do, and maybe you're a child of divorce, and maybe your spouse, his parents also got divorced. What happens with a lot of us who had divorce in our family, when there's an argument, we equate that leading to divorce. Like if things get upset, there's a disagreement, if somebody's angry, then we equate that it's going to lead to the end of the marriage. There was a pastor, and he talked about this. His parents got divorced, and he said that he and his wife were headbutting over taking the garbage out, and in his mind, he equated that it was going to lead to divorce. And she looked at him and said, I'm not leaving you. I'm not getting divorced. I'm just saying take the garbage out. But a lot of us, we're so scared of conflict, we need to get to the point we understand there's nothing wrong with anger. So here's a couple of important keys for expressing your anger. First, don't feel guilty about your anger. Don't feel guilty about it. There's reasons for anger, legitimate violation, immaturity, ignorance, or even, like I like to say, and that is unrealistic expectations. See, here's the thing I'm learning to say, and that is, I'm not saying my anger is right, but I'm saying it's real. So I'm angry. I'm not saying I'm right, but I want to talk about it. Again, if you came from a home where you cannot process your anger, where you can't, you know, even be angry, you kind of grow up to think there's something wrong with expressing anger. But I'm going to say this a lot in this message, and here it is. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just angry. So let's talk about it. Here's a danger for not dealing with anger properly. A lot of health problems come from internalized anger, intestinal problems, skin problems, mental problems, emotional problems, depression. One of the clinical definitions of depression is anger turned inward. That your depression can be anger turned inward. Anger is a very high consumer emotionally. Like if I said, hey, everybody, let's go outside and let's run down the 17, Highway 17 sidewalk as far as we can. Some of us could run further than others, but at some point, every single one of us is going to stop running. Well, same thing with your emotions. Your emotions can only run so far. If you're angry, your emotions are on a treadmill. Did you know that the day after someone wins the gold medal in the Olympics, they're usually depressed? Did you know that usually when someone goes through the emotional experience of getting married the next day, like they're depressed? Why? Because you've consumed a lot of emotions and you wake up the next morning and your emotions say to you, we can't wake up. Have you ever had that happen? I've had it happen a lot in my life. And if you had anger for years on the inside of you, it just flattens your emotions. So there's a result of not dealing with it. The other way to deal with anger appropriately and how to cultivate an atmosphere of honesty in a relationship, that means this: I want you to communicate your anger. Now, this is new for me, okay? I've always been like, let's not talk about it. Let's sweep it on the rug. But I'm learning, I want you to communicate your anger if we're married. Because, you know, here's the thing. Most people that come into counseling and they begin to communicate issues about their spouse, a lot of times it gets asked, have you ever said this to your spouse? And sometimes they will say, no, I have not, because they'll go off. If I tell them what's wrong with me, they'll go off on me. There was a pastor that once said these words. Listen to what he said. Every man needs to sit down with his wife and say, tell me what's wrong with me and I won't defend myself. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I first heard him say that, I thought that was the dumbest man alive. Like, why would you do that to yourself? Question. How in the world can I be a good husband to my wife, Rachel, if I won't allow my wife to tell me what I'm doing wrong? I mean, how can I be a blessing her? Same thing for my wife. If she just not allows me to express my own issues. Again, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just telling you how I feel. You know, the best stores, I think, have the best customer service departments and desks. I had one time a tear in the seam of my pants. I had bought the pants about a year before. I went to that store thinking there was no shot of them helping me out with my issue. I said, hey, here's my pants. I bought them here. Is there any way we can resolve this? Because, I mean, this should not be happening. And they looked at me and said, go get another pair. I went over and found the best pair I could, you know, that kind of matched the pair I had. It was actually more expensive than the pair I originally bought. And I brought it to them and they checked me out. I didn't have to pay a single thing. They said, have a great day, Mr. Freeman. And I thought to myself, I trust these people. Have you ever been to a customer service department and you have an issue and they hassle you? Or they ignore you? They don't want to hear from you? They kind of push you off and try to give all kinds of reasons why you should not have an issue? You don't trust those places, right? So in your marriage, you have to have a customer service department with a happy person behind the counter, okay? Not someone who's trying to, don't talk to me and hiding behind the counter. No, let's talk, and I love you enough. Let's talk about this. A lot of marriages say, I can't express my concern because you won't listen to me. See, anger doesn't go away. It just gets bottled up. So you have to cultivate an atmosphere of honesty in your marriage where you're not threatened by the honesty of your spouse. Number two, don't justify sin because you're angry. Paul says, yeah, you're going to be angry, but don't sin. You have to trust that if you do what God wants you to do, you're going to get the best result. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But then it says that the acts of the flesh, the carnal flesh, what happens is we don't handle anger appropriately. Look what it says in Galatians 5. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual morality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, say it with me, church, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, and factions. So if I stay in the flesh and I get angry, I'm probably going to suppress it, or I'm going to just let it rip with fits of rage. I have to, as a disciple of Jesus, invite the Spirit into my emotions so my anger does not cause a divide in my relationship where there's factions, where there's dissensions, where there is discord. Here's what it says in Scripture. Another thing I want you to remind yourself of, that is, don't go to bed in your anger. Don't go to bed in your anger. Look what it says in Scripture. In your anger, do not sin. Do not, say it with me, church, let the sun go down while you're still angry. Here's what happens when you go to bed angry. It destroys intimacy, passion, optimism. How does a couple, listen, go from madly in love in front of a pastor like me to all of a sudden hating each other in front of a lawyer? One drop of anger at a time. When it's unresolved. One drop of anger at a time when it's unresolved. we can get in a pattern, right? And that pattern impacts even our children. That sin is something that our parents did, and we do it naturally. So if you have dysfunctional ways of dealing with anger, it creates habits and patterns in your marriage, but also in the next generation. It builds a legacy, right? An intensity of legacy for the future. It's like packing a gunpowder for a bullet, and you keep packing that anger down deep, deep, deep in the gun, and it's going to explode one day. See, there's nothing wrong with today's anger. Today's anger is manageable. It is fresh. I can deal with today's anger. Yesterday's anger, that's the danger. It's the anger that I have not dealt with in my past. You find a person who has a problem with anger, I'll show you a person who struggles with forgiveness and who struggles with processing their emotions, which opens the door for the devil. And that leads to number four. That is, don't give the devil a place in your marriage. Don't give the devil a place in your marriage. Look what Scripture says again. Do not give the devil a foothold. If you don't deal with the anger, his name is Diabolos. That means slanderer. You give him a place in your marriage. Here's what makes the devil so dangerous. He's stealth. I mean, think about it. Of all the animals he could have chosen in the Garden of Eden, which animal did he choose to show up to Adam and Eve? He chose to be a what? A serpent, a snake. Why? Because they're sneaky. They can sneak up on you. That's what makes them so dangerous. That's the same with the devil. He shows up in your marriage. You don't even know he's there. The devil doesn't walk up to your front door and knock on your front door, and all of a sudden you open up, and there he is dressed in a red outfit with horns on, with a pitchfork, you know, and a pointed tail, and say, hey, I'm here, I'm the devil, and I would like to destroy your life, your spouse's life, and your marriage. That's not what he does. He sneaks up. He does not want you to know that he's there. Here's what happens. You go to bed angry. He shows up in your mind. He shows up working on you, and he starts deceiving you. The devil convinces us that the wrong response will bring about the right results. He convinces you that obedience to God's word in a response in faith won't help and won't produce results. See, he's a slanderer. And when you go to bed on anger, when you wake up the next morning, you've been counseled by the devil and you don't even know it. Who are you mad at? Who are you mad at? Most of you can think of somebody right now. He's going to accuse them. He sneaks up while you're stewing and you got all these thoughts about them and a lot of thoughts. I'm going to tell you right now, he's slandering them. He's slandering your spouse. They meant to do this. They want to harm you. They don't love you. They are this. You married the wrong person. And all those thoughts start flooding in your mind and your heart. And you start thinking, you know what? It's all their fault. They're the issue. I should not have married them. So here's a discipline. Don't go to bed while you're angry. We're not going to give each other silent treatment. We make the decision. And here's the decision. We're going to resolve our anger and we're not going to go to bed. Here's what happens to me. The later it gets, the more humble I get. At 9 p.m., 10 p.m., I'm holding strong. 11 p.m., okay, let's talk. 12 p.m., I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. You may say, well, Nathan, I would like to do that, but my spouse won't. Okay, here's the point. You can devil-proof your heart. If your spouse won't talk to you, forgive them before you go to bed and pray. You pray this prayer. Father in heaven, I'm going to bed right now. We're in a fight. And I'm upset, but I forgive them. I ask you, God, to bless them. I ask you to protect my heart tonight so I don't slander them. Let me put it this way. If you've ever gone to bed angry, you have deeply held beliefs about your spouse that are wrong. You've been deceived. Keep Satan out of your heart. He's a slanderer. He hates you. He hates your spouse. And he definitely hates your marriage. People talk to me all the time about the person that they once fell in love with. They thought this person was the greatest person in the world. But one drop of anger at a time has turned that love into hostility and to hate. So let me close with four ways of how we overcome our anger. Number one is this, and that is confront in a loving and positive manner. Scripture says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So if I'm angry and I come up to my wife, Rachel, here's what I should say. Rachel, I'm upset. I'd like to talk to you about something. You know I love you. You know that I'm so grateful that I'm your husband. We're on the same team and we're going to work on this together. But I need your help. That's how I should come, right? That way of coming is to her is very positive, it's very loving. But here's what oftentimes we say to one another. Rachel, I am so tired of you pulling your stunts. I got 1hourdivorce.com right now on my laptop. And if you say the wrong thing, I'm hitting that button because I want you to know I'm sick of it. So what does that other person do? We start off that way, right? The other person naturally becomes very defensive at that point. That's what happens. So what's proven is a soft answer turns away anger and wrath, but a harsh word stirs up that anger. Number two, open up and don't criticize. Open up and don't criticize. Opening up is about me. Criticizing is about you. So I should come to my wife, and I should say this, Rachel, you know this morning you came to me and you said such and such, and I don't know what you meant by that at all, and you might not have meant anything by it, but can I tell you how it made me feel? Again, I'm not accusing you of anything, but it made me feel like you weren't over what happened yesterday, and you're trying to pay me back. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just telling you how I feel. Would you mind if we sat down and we talked about it today? Can we do that today sometime? And that's how I should say. Now, here's criticizing. Criticizing says this, Rachel, let me tell you what you said to me in the kitchen this morning. Number one, it's wrong. And number two, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to hurt me, and I know why. And the reason why is because you're evil, just like your mother. That's why. By the way, her mom's awesome. Her mom is awesome. But when someone comes at you criticizing you like that, what happens? Man, all our shields go, boom, they go up, don't they? Man, and you're not telling me, not just am I doing something wrong, you're assigning an intent to it. You're telling me what's in my heart. You've got a bad heart. You're trying to hurt me. You meant to do this. You're mean-spirited. And when somebody comes at you like that, your shields go up. Everybody hates that. Everybody. You're accusing me of something I didn't do. You're telling me what my motives are. And if you come to me and we come to each other with a critical spirit like that, our gates go up towards one another, don't they? Right? You could talk to my ears, but my heart is checked out. It ain't listening. And the reason why is because my heart is sensitive. So is yours. My heart is so sensitive to leave it open to a negative person with guns blazing. And if you come to me trying to say, you know what, Nathan, I'm not saying that what I'm saying is right. I love you. I need a help. I need your help processing this. I'm not telling you I'm right, but can we talk? Man, I'll be like, yeah, let's talk. No, that's not what I meant. We can actually grow closer with that type of opening up about my heart. When someone criticizes us, it's like you're guilty before you're innocent, right? Before you're proven innocent, it's like someone throws an egg in your face and then demands for you to wipe it off. You have to deal with the issues on a heart level. We got to keep the heart open, and it's not going to happen if we're critical towards one another. Number three, that is listen to your spouse and believe them. Believe the best about them. This is a part of the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. A lot of people don't want to acknowledge, but here's what love is. Love bears all things, and look what it says next. Say it with me, church. It does what? It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Listen, if you've been angry with your spouse for a long time, you have deeply held beliefs about them that are wrong. In other words, you think they're evil. You think there's something, it's all about them. But the point is this, you have gone to bed. If you've gone to bed angry night after night after night after night, you've got a lot of information in you about them that's just flat out wrong. You've allowed the devil to slander your spouse for a long time, and the only thing you'll believe is consistent in what he has told you. And what makes it worse is when two people have done that and they don't trust each other and they don't believe the best about each other. People, listen, people have divorced over unfounded beliefs. It happens a lot. Number four, forgive and let it go. Forgive and let it go. When you're ending your time of confrontation, you get to a place where you forgive your spouse. Here's what you're saying. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I did that. I take full responsibility. Will you forgive me? We need to be really good about saying these 12 words. We went over them a few weeks ago. And these 12 words are simply this. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Will you say those words with me like you really mean it on the count of three? One, two, three. I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. And you forgive. Listen, if you keep bringing it up, you have not forgiven. Now, if you keep doing the same thing over and over, obviously, you're going to mess up the trust of your spouse. Listen, trust is lost in buckets and is earned in drops. Trust is lost in buckets and it's earned in drops. You have to earn trust. You have to earn that trust over consistent and over responsible behavior. But if you go around breaking your word and I'm always doing the same thing wrong, it means I don't care and I can't be trusted. But at the end of the day, I have to forgive. You talk things out. You get to the end of the conversation. You forgive. I'm not going to withdraw from you. I'm not going to withdraw my affection from you. I'm not going to punish you. In fact, I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Think about this. When someone has hurt you, what you do is you pray a blessing over them. And when you pray a blessing over someone who's hurt you, it moves forgiveness from your head to your heart. It's amazing, supernatural, how God works on when you pray for a blessing over someone who's hurt you. You need to pray a blessing over your spouse every single night. And let me remind you that your children are watching. Your children are wet cement. They're learning from you. Their video and audio recorders are on 24/7 recording you. We as parents wish that were not the case, but that's the truth. Here's my responsibility is making my family healthier than what I receive from my parents. I put it this way. My parents' ceiling is my floor. And my ceiling is my kids' floor. And what I mean by that is I don't want to pass on as much dysfunction as was passed on to me, to my children and my grandchildren relationally. So that means Rachel and I, we build our marriage on the Word of God. Now that doesn't mean that we are perfect. Rachel and I, today, you know, very rarely fight. I think of the last past year, we had a couple fights, mainly because Rachel still has issues. I'm kidding, we both. You guys know it's me. I mean, let's just be honest. You guys know it's me. But anyway, but here's the point. Our goal is not to fear anger. That's a big change for me in marriage. Is not to fear anger and not allow it to be bottled up in my marriage. Some of you are here and you've got this dysfunction going on for so many years, you have not even been aware of it. So you need to pray right now and ask the Holy Spirit, teach me to deal with my anger. Teach me to deal with the anger in my relationship, in my marriage. Lord, teach me. See, anger is a natural emotion that we're all going to have because you're living in such close proximity to your spouse. You've got different opinions. In order for you to live that way, you've got to be able to say to your spouse that they can share their frustrations with you. We need to be honest and have an atmosphere of honesty. And I'm going to come and I'm going to say I'm angry, but I'm not going to sin against you. I'm not going to justify you, justify anger. I'm not going to go to bed and normalize long-term anger. Today, this anger's fresh. It's manageable. I don't want Satan to slander you to me. So we're going to sit down and we're going to deal with this anger. And what that means is, you know what? We're not going to allow stored up anger in our marriage. What that means is we're going to have goodwill and think the best and believe the best about one another. I told one couple, man, you guys have been so angry for so long, you don't know how to love one another. I mean, you can have anger that's been going on for 10, 20 plus years, and that marriage is stored up. How do you deal with it? What they say about eating an elephant, eat it one bite at a time. Start with what happened yesterday. If you have an elephant worth of issues in your marriage, decades of dysfunction, how do you deal with it? You deal with it every single time, one at a time. Not 5 or 10 issues at a time, one at a time. And what happens is over time, you become an expert on dealing with that anger. And I want to end with this. Here it is. What area does God want to speak to you about? Not your spouse, not that person you're upset about. I'm talking about you. What does God want to speak to you about? For some of us, it's selfishness. You know, if I'm honest with you, you know, it's selfishness. Sometimes it's my insecurity. Sometimes it's my control. I want to control things. I want to control my money. It's my money. I don't want you knowing about it. Sometimes it's because I don't want to forgive. Sometimes it's because my anger. My anger is isolating me, is pushing people away from me. And that anger is inside of me. And every time you bust out in anger, every time you suppress anger and sweep it under the rug, what you are doing is you're inviting Satan, and you're saying this to Satan: come on in and make hell happen in my marriage. Come on in and make hell happen in my relationship. And as we talked about it, you heard God saying, I want you to be free of that. That's not your friend. You need to let it go. Some of you never realized, but now you realize that God's not going to bless the way you're processing anger, and you need to be healed of that. God says, when you get serious about prayer, I'll get serious about answering. So all of us need to probably walk up during this song that's going to happen next. We're going to sing in just a second. We got men and women up here, and you come up, and you just say one word. You know, selfishness. Selfishness is really eating into my marriage. Pride. I don't want to forgive. Anger, control. And you just got to say that one word. And it may not be your marriage. It may be a relationship with somebody else. Our prayer team will pray over you. I'll say one more thing before we leave. If you can't deal with what's going on in your relationship, you need to get help. You need to get help. Here's the truth I just want you to hear. Don't sit there and live in that anger. Get help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. Rachel and I have needed help in our marriage a time or two through our 25 years of marriage. And if you get to problems in your marriage that you need to help, I'm going to tell you, get that help. Teach your children humility. And a lot of our families operate with this motto: nobody else knows about our business. We don't take our problems to anybody else. Listen, that's the most dysfunctional thinking in the world. The brother of Jesus, his name is James, look what he said. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Say it with me. You may be what? Healed. You know, there's something in us that God can't heal until you involve other people in the process who are God-honoring people. Sometimes when you have a problem you can't solve, it requires the humility to go to a church leader, a Christian counselor, a trusted Christian mentor, and get help. There's a reason you're married. And we need to do whatever we can to fight for that marriage and fight for that relationship. Will you stand with me? I want you to stand with me right now. If you want to get serious with God, I want to encourage you in just a second. Come up here and pray. Get some prayer right now. We just read about the power of prayer. God is going to do some stuff. God is going to break some bondage. Once again, we're here waiting for you. Let's pray over that relationship before you leave today. The reason you're married, listen, it's because you love each other. And the other is this: God put you together. God put you together. But anger can get you to think that you made a mistake. And anger can lead you to think that the wrong thing of going about it is the right way of operating. And I'm going to tell you right now, you handle this in a God-honoring way. Allow him to help you overcome all that anger. It's going to bless you. It's going to protect you. It's going to bless your marriage. It's going to bless your children. It's going to bless your great-grandchildren who are going to come down the road. It's going to bless your community. It's going to bless your church. So let's give our anger to the Lord. Amen.